Hello and welcome again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching. This ministry and these teachings are brought to you by the Wash 'Em Word Hand Car Washing Business in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. There you can get your car hand washed, and also you can hear these messages in the parking lot of the Wash 'Em Word by simply turning your radio to 107.1 while you're in the parking lot. That's 107.1 FM, and we play these messages on a loop throughout the day in the parking lot themselves. Well, we're going to go ahead and get right back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. If you've been following along with us, you know that we are in the book of Ecclesiastes. We are in chapter 9, and a couple of messages ago, we read verses 1 through 12, and chapter 9 marked a significant change in Solomon's searching. Namely, he now is talking about death. And, you know, we've been talking the last couple of messages about it, and you know, nobody likes to talk about death. Nobody likes to think about death, but there's just no getting around it. I mean, 100 out of 100 people are going to die. And so, you know, it's kind of foolish if you think about it to ignore something that's inevitable. I mean, if you're in a barrel heading towards Niagara Falls, can you possibly ignore the fact that you're going to go over the fall? I mean, it's just kind of foolish. And I'm only talking like this because I don't like death. I don't want to think about it. But as a saved believer in Christ, I know my eternal salvation is secure, that I will spend eternity with God in the original plan that he had with Adam and Eve, and that is to fellowship with his creation for all of eternity. But that doesn't make the idea and the concept and the subject of death any different or any better. But here's what Solomon's saying, and just by quick recap, you know, we mentioned back in chapter 7 where Solomon said, "The heart of the wise is in the house of the mourning, but the heart of the fools is in the house of pleasure." And it kind of contradicts. Now, again, we read verses 1 through 12 a couple of messages ago. So if you go to washandword.com, you can hear this message and you can hear the other ones by just going to the media tab at washandword.com. But when we read verses 1 through 12, we got a good impression of Solomon's idea of death. And because of that, we started making connections between how to make death more palatable, if that's even a possibility. And really, aside from a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, there's no way of making death a less scary subject. But because of Solomon's words back in chapter 7 about the heart of the wise being in a house of mourning, you know, we started looking at that, and the house of mourning, that is the house of solitude, or the house of sadness and destitute, the house of a time of reflection, a house of death, perhaps. These places, these houses of mourning, and really it's more of a euphemism for a period of time. You know, the house of mourning was never meant to be moved into. We were never meant to live in the house of mourning, but we were meant to visit there from time to time. And the house of mourning gets us out of the thinking in our current life about all the things that aren't that important. And the house of mourning gets us thinking about the important things of life. And what it does is, it number one, it changes the conversation. A house of mourning, or death, let's just put it as it is, you know, the thought of death, it changes the conversation. What used to be important in our conversation becomes less important in the house of mourning, in the thought processes of death, as it were. And also, we noticed in our last teaching that not only does it change the conversation, it changes the calculation. We no longer care about the things that are important to us now. in the house of mourning. And thirdly, and this is where we'll pick it up in our teaching today, is that death changes the course. So it changes the conversation, it changes the calculation, and it also changes the course of your life. And what so many people are striving for today, so many of us are living for a certain goal, a certain plan. We have a route, we have a direction, we have a way that we want to go, but in the house of mourning, that changes dramatically. That course, that plan for our life, in the house of reflection, the house of mourning, the periods of time when death becomes a reality to the living, that changes our course. One's entire life course can change in the house of mourning. I had a deacon in our church one time who was supposed to go with a friend of his to visit a third friend in another state. And he came in, he was supposed to leave, I guess, on a Friday or a Saturday morning, and he came in on a Sunday morning, unexpecting to see him. And he came in to testify that the fact that his friend had died on a plane, on that plane that weekend, that plane went down. The plane that he was supposed to be on crashed and everyone on it died. And what he did is when he came in that Sunday morning, he was witnessing and he was testifying and he was bringing a new kind of glory to God in a way that I've never seen from him before, and probably in a way that he had never been delivering his testimony about God before. Why? Because the reality that he could have been on that plane but somehow missed it and survived, well, that is the scenario of the house of mourning. That is the scenario of how death can change our conversation and our calculation and the course of our life. And that is why Solomon said there is wisdom in that house. And not only does the house of mourning, not only does death change our conversation and our calculation and our course, but death changes the control. Death changes the control. You know, there is something about gazing upon a casket that makes us realize how little in control we are, how little control of our lives we actually have, doesn't it? I mean, nothing can humble us and bring us to our knees and make us conscious of what little control we have over our life itself than gazing upon a casket. Solomon said there is wisdom in the house of mourning because death is a life stimulant. Gotta be one of the biggest oxymorons sentences I've maybe ever uttered, but death is a life stimulant. A couple of messages ago when I read verses 1 through 12 of chapter 9, I opened with a cute joke about the man who got a phone call from his doctor after having gone on a physical a day before. And the doctor called him and said, "I have good news and I have bad news." And then the man said, "Well, doc, give me the good news first." And the doctor said, "Well, all your tests are bad, your blood is bad, and you only have 24 hours to live." And the man says, "Well, goodness gracious, if that's the good news, what's the bad news?" And the doctor said, "I was supposed to call you yesterday." And when you think about that, is that cute little funny opening joke about the final day. What if that doctor did call that man 24 hours earlier? You know, what of it? What if you did have 24 hours more to live? What, in light of the reality of death, would change on your last day of life if you knew today was that last day? I mean, if you knew that you had 24 hours to live, or maybe a week or a month or even a year,
what would you do? How would you act? Where would you go? I guess, in other words, if you knew when you were going to die, how would that affect your life today? How would that change your life today? Would it change your conversation? Would it change your calculation? Would it change your course? Would it change your control? Would anything at all change? Victoria Principal, the star of the TV show Dallas, yes, I'm giving you a clue of how old I am. This is a true story. She was nearly killed in an automobile accident when she was 19 years old. And upon recovering, she said that she had a new sense of her mortality. And rather than turning her thoughts to eternity, she abandoned herself to a hedonistic lifestyle for the next 2 or 3 years. When asked why, she said she didn't want to die having missed any of life's experiences. Listen, let me tell you something. The reality of death should stir you. The only question that remains is, which direction? I mean, the thought of our mortality is going to stir us. It's going to push us. But what direction? But before you answer that, let me give you a sobering truth. This is your last day on Earth. And that's right, I poisoned your coffee, and we're all going to ride the next comet out of here. Of course, I'm only kidding, but what if it were true? What if today was your last day on Earth? I mean, James 4:14 pretty much clarifies this when he says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Well, that's pretty sobering scripture right there, isn't it? And since none of us know if we're even going to be here tomorrow, then technically, I could say that today very well may be your last day on Earth. Would you be like Victoria Principal and just go off and have as good a time as you possibly can? Or would you, like the blind man in Luke 18, verses 41 through 43, have a different insight? In that scripture we read, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus said. Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. All of us who are Christians can relate, can't we? I was blind and now I see. I was dead and now I live. And every day that you lived outside of Jesus' saving grace, man, that was a close call. I'm telling you, that was a narrow escape, because each of those days you lived outside of the shed blood of Christ, you could have died in your sin and have been damned forever. But friends, God rescued you. God rescued me. And now I want to live as one who has been rescued. Ecclesiastes 5:8, Solomon had said it before. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Sorry, that's Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And with that, I leave you to meditate upon these words. And remember, this could be it. Let's live like it is. I encourage you and invite you to come by the Wash and Word and let us wash your car. This is how we afford to keep this ministry on the radio. Also, go to the washandword.com website and sign up to our email list. You can get a chance to win a free car wash by doing that. We always, your email is safe with us. If you have any questions, call 423-920-0913. You have a blessed day.